I'm all about low prices, but not in a cheap way, of course. I have this weird best value superpower. You name it, I can tell you exactly where to go. You need beer? Total Wine and More. Feeling like wine? Duh. Total Wine and More. Whether I'm spicing up game night or I'm grilling with my friends, Total Wine and More always has exactly what I need.
Hey, Ron, your best value superpower is called Total Wine and More, and we are now open in Reston. Click the banner or visit totalwine.com/go-reston for more savings at our Reston store.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Lou Capetta Show with Jay Burke. I'm your host, Lou Capetta, and we're up to episode number 17 already. And this week's guest is somebody I actually wanted from the very, very beginning when I started doing a podcast. I discovered her on Twitter. She had a very, very funny comedy album come out called Seen Better Days, which went all the way to number one on the iTunes comedy charts. She, the actress, was on a show for Amazon Prime called Red Oaks. She's a published author. She also runs a parody page, NYT Vows, which is really, really funny. She is comedian Selena Kopic, and she comes by, has a lot of fun with Jay and myself, and it's a really good listen. It was a really good episode, one of the better ones we've done. So once again, everybody, thank you for supporting the show. You can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spreaker.com. And I hope you enjoy the show this week. Yo, what's up? It's the Lou Capetta Show with Jay Burke. I'm Lou.
I'm Jay.
And Jay, you know we keep it real here, right?
We do.
So I'm going to...
Very real.
Very, very real. We're the realest.
Some would say it's organic.
Yeah. Yep. I don't even know what to say after that, except for the fact that we have a guest today. And I discovered our guest on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. Which, if kids, you don't need school, you need Twitter.
Exactly.
she is she's extremely funny. Actually, when I first started doing a podcast, man, like, she was one of the first people I really, really tried to get in touch with, right? Because I wanted her on the show, because she's extremely funny. She's a writer. She's a stand-up comedian. She has had, I think, the number one comedy album on iTunes for a period of time there. It's brilliant. She's also an actress, Red Oaks on Amazon Prime. You can find her. And she's just really funny, and she likes Guns N' Roses.
Well, that's... It sounds like everything I always wanted.
Exactly. So, welcome.
So how did
Selena
you get there?
Kopic. I hope our intro did you justice.
Oh my god, that intro was absolutely amazing. I want to hire you to be my hype man.
Oh, that's...
Can you guys...
Well, yeah, I could be a
hype man. Yeah, that was so great.
My whole life I've been trying to live like Flavor Flav, so I'm all, just, you know, give me a clock and a chain and let's fucking do it.
I know, we'll go on the road. Yeah, man, wow. Yeah, that was a great intro. Also, I appreciate the Guns N' Roses shout out. I feel like sometimes people know that. I used to have a podcast about them.
Really?
Which was great.
Really?
Yeah, it
was called, that was the... Yeah, the first band I ever got into. My sister was 8 years older than me, and she loved Guns N' Roses. Okay. and that's I got into them. I mean, eventually it became like more of like a grungy dirty person, I guess.
Yeah. Well, right? That's not yeah. even with music, just
in general.
Yeah. I mean everybody loves Guns N' Roses. I loved Guns N' Roses, and then I discovered Big Daddy Kane. I thought I was a black kid for about 15 years.
I used to try to
do
that.
I hear that.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, I'm 40 years old. I still wear my hat backwards. My,
that's awesome.
You know, I embarrass my kids. They're like, "Oh, Dad, you're not cool." I'm like, "Fuck what you think." Your mom didn't say that last night. No, I'm just joking. I don't say
that.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
You're from Boston area, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in the suburbs of Boston, and then I lived in Southie after Boston, like after college, like everyone's legally required to.
And now you're in New York.
Yes. Yeah. I've been in New York now almost like 12 years.
Did you move here for your comedy? Like, was that your? Or you just?
It was sort of. It was sort of comedy and sort of, I still have like a normal job. So I work in publishing during the day. So it was kind of like, I got laid off from a job in Boston and I was 2 years into stand up and I was kind of frustrated with stand up in Boston and just like ready for something, you know, a little different. So yeah, New York just made sense, you know, for publishing and for stand up. And I like, it's kind of hokey, but I really believe that like the universe will like push you in, you know, will like make it easy for you if it's the right path.
Yeah.
So yeah, then I was like, I think I'm going to move to New York. And then my uncle was like, you could live at my apartment for free. And I got a job really easily. So like, yeah, everything just sort of unfolded easily, which was great.
Nice. Does your uncle still need a roommate? Because I'm kidding.
I know. I wish. It was like, that was sort of nuts. I lived on the Upper East Side when I first got here. And like, man, Upper East Side. Whew,
yeah.
That's not really my scene.
Was like a culture shock coming from Boston? Or were you just like, I mean, Boston's a big city, but it is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different. I don't know. I just, specifically the guys at bars on the Upper East Side are very preppy. And like, I don't know, that look has never appealed to me. That kind of guy has never appealed to me. So like, I would just look at it and I was like, seriously, you're wearing that? Like, not as a joke, but like for real, like on purpose. These are your clothes.
Nice cardigan.
Which I just, yeah, exactly. I was like, I could take you in a fight. Like, how is this what you're wearing out to the club?
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, just like wasn't really my scene at all. But, you know,
was it,
it's safe and quiet at night.
Was it very different to go from the comedy scene in Boston to New York?
Yeah, I mean, the comedy scene in Boston has changed so much over the years. Like, I mean, I left in late 2006, so there, you know, like there was one open mic. It was Monday nights, and that was it. Yeah. So if you wanted to work out material, there was one night a week you could do it. And so then I moved to New York, and there's shows like every night of the week. You know, you can always be doing like a mic, then a show, then a late night show. Like, and you can race around all the time. Like, you know, the subway never closes down. So, it made me so much more productive and just. It made me realize how hard you have to hustle. Like when I was in Boston, I was getting up like once every 3 weeks and I was like, I'm doing stand up, you know? Right. And you know, I got to New York and I was like, oh my God, I've been barely like phoning it in for 2 years, you know?
And which is hard. And now, that's pre-iPhone too.
Exactly.
That's like the dark ages.
I know.
Yeah.
That's fucking flip phone times.
I remember I was so happy when they had the Envy and you could flip it up and just type on it. Like, I thought that was great. I was like, we've made it as a species now. We've made it.
Yeah, I remember I had a phone that was like, what do they call the, like a candy bar phone where it's just like this and you like butt dial everyone all the time. All you do is butt dial.
All the time.
It's like the buttons are right there, you know.
Oh my God. So
stupid. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Jay, I don't even know why he's not even an iPhone guy. He's an Android guy.
Well, I started with the iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
You know what I think?
What do you think?
I see somebody text me and it comes back green, I think they're poor. that's what I think.
That's not untrue.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's funny.
I got a really. Question that I always ask this of any stand-up comedian that I've ever interviewed, which other than you is just one other person. But if I
keep the streak alive,
exactly. So we're going for the streak
in all my years of interviewing.
Right. So, like, but I really want to know because, like, I think I'm a pretty funny guy. But there's like a difference between like there's lots of funny people out there. There's a difference between like being funny and being like. Stand-up comedian funny or being able to be a stand-up comedian and you're very good at it. Right. I mean, I'm not just saying that. Like you did your album was terrific.
Thank you.
Like when did you know that you're like, hey, I can do stand-up? Or were you just like, oh, fuck it, I think I'm funny. I don't care if anybody else does.
I took kind of a long and like circuitous route. I used to do improv in college, like, you know, a lot of people do, like an improv troupe. And that's really a comfortable way to start because, like, you have a rehearsal with other people, you're in a team, like, there's accountability outside of you, you know?
Right.
And I did that for years, and then I kind of had a falling out with the, like, larger theater company that I was part of. And so I did stand up kind of like, cause I had always been writing stuff.
Right.
And my friend ran like a variety show and was like, you could do 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'll do this joke I wrote about Small Wonder, which was like the first joke I ever wrote.
Small Wonder, the TV show?
Like, TV show.
Talk about not topical. Yeah. The TV show.
That's amazing. Yeah, like,
it was like, it's actually, I don't think it's a bad joke, but like talk about being like, hey audience, do you guys remember a TV show from 20 years ago? Like, get ready for some jokes. You know, like, it was like not topical.
Can we hear that joke? Like, can we hear it? Like,
oh my God.
Is that putting you on the spot? Like, that's.
I know. Yeah. I was like,
I think we would definitely get it today.
Yeah, we definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It is topical now too. They have like a sex robot. So like.
That stuff's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, so then I like tried stand up this first time with a Small Wonder joke and it was like total beginner's luck. And the audience knew it was my first time, so they were really gentle with me, which I think I was just like, I'm good at this. But like, I mean, they were just being very nice, you know? But then it just appealed to me because I was like, you control it yourself completely. You're not in some team with a bunch of other people. Right. And I just found that like the people were more my people. Like, I think, and this is kind of a controversial opinion, but I think improv likes to think that it's really this like welcoming community of like, you know, misfit toys and everyone can fit in. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's totally fucking not. They're all lying.
It's high school.
Actually, stand up is really the, I think it kind of is, but it's high school, but it's like Revenge of the Nerds high school.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I had a lot of girls were like, I don't mean to generalize, but yeah, I just found that a lot of people were like, oh, you're like, they just kind of didn't like that I wouldn't wear a hoodie and be like, oh, I hate my life. You know, like, I don't know. It just seemed like you got kind of punished for like being somewhat cool. Conventionally okay looking and and being like, I was in a sorority and I was popular growing up, you know, like,
I know exactly what you're saying. It's like every time I walk into GameStop, those guys hate me. Like, I play video games, but guess what? I still have sex. Not like those guys. So
exactly.
Not that much, but still more than them.
Right.
Yeah. But I liked that. Like in stand up, I just felt like it was less of, you have so many different personalities and like, there are the sort of, you know, like misfit toys and the people in hoodies, but there are also people who are like, yeah, I'm type A, I'm like a go getter. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So I kind of liked that in stand up, you're not like on some team where maybe some like dead weight is holding you down. In stand up, it's just you kill on your own or you die on your own. Mm-hmm. But you know, everyone gets to speak their own voice and be like, yeah, here's the weird experience I came from. And it's interesting, you know? But it takes a while to figure out. Like, I mean, you learn it in 10-minute increments and there's no way to speed it up really. Like, it took me a long time to be comfortable on stage. It takes you a while to learn like, oh, everyone's already done jokes about, you know, having an erection for 4 hours or, you know, like certain topics where it's like every new comedian always talks about, you know.
Who the fuck has an erection for 4 hours? How does that happen?
Well, there's ways. Just,
it's like some
shit.
No, it's like,
I got to stick with the GameStop guys. There's no way. No,
do you crush a GameStop?
What's that?
Do you make jokes at GameStop and they love you?
No, they fucking hate me because I threaten to beat them up.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, because we both have day jobs. I do construction during the day because, you know.
You gotta make a living.
Yeah, and God hates me. So, you know, other than that, like, so I was going in there one time. This is years ago. Went in there and there's a guy, like, just some people, like, I like to prejudge people. I don't like that we live in a society you're not allowed to do that anymore. So I still do it. And I looked at this guy and he like seriously should have been standing next to a sign that said, I live in my mom's basement and I wear people's skin. So I go in there and it was like some new system was coming out and I do play video games. So I was just like, that new system came out. Do you guys have any of those? And he laughed at me. I was like,
I feel like that with Star Wars. Like, I'm a big Star Wars nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means to anybody else here, but and
he has sex too, believe it or not.
And it's happened.
I came up and he watches Star Wars. We actually have sex. We have children to prove it.
Like when I went to go see the last one that came out, I was just sitting there in the theater with my friend, and we said something, and at the end this big guy just stands up with like this straight long hair and like weird ratty thing, and he's like, you know, there's something more going on with Snoke than they're letting on.
Oh, my God.
And he's just sitting there staring at me. And I was like,
fuck that. I'd have been out. I'm like, oh, this guy's shooting up the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had, like, the trench coat.
Yeah. That's, do you ever run into that, like, with your stand up and stuff? Like, people like that? Because, like, you look, because, I, like, you look like a pretty normal. You're a pretty normal woman. I mean, I don't know you. Maybe you're crazy. But, I mean, you know, like, you're just like, I'm sure that you run into those people, like you were just saying, like, oh, like, I'm so artsy. And, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Or people who just, yeah, think, like, you know, they'll be like, well, you, yeah, like, because, I think they think that, I don't know, a woman who does stand up would be pretty, like, rough around the edges. And, you know, like,
right.
Yeah, I think they think that they're like, oh, you grew up in, like, a nice town.
Yeah.
How are you doing stand up? And, like, you're not, like, a traumatized, sad clown. Like, why
yeah,
are you doing
exactly.
stand up? And it's like,
yeah.
There's plenty of people who do stand up, you know, or comedy of any type, you know?
Right. Or not funny, like Sarah Silverman. Oh.
Oh.
I like Sarah Silverman.
I can't
know,
stand
me too.
Anymore. I really can't. Nah. I don't know why. I just, you know, oh, you know what? You need to, can you judge something for us and tell us what's funnier?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Jay's impression of Bruce Springsteen singing or my impression of Adam Carolla talking?
Ooh, I would like to judge this contest.
Okay.
What am I going to say? See, now I haven't prepared.
Oh, yeah,
would you like him to see chamomile tea?
Oh,
or
would you
like that?
You're a Guns N' Roses fan. You sing Paradise City as if Bruce Springsteen was fucking it up.
Let me get into Bruce. Oh, you gotta take me down to the Paradise City. Oh, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. That's all I'm going to say. I gotta get the lyrics.
I think that's pretty hard to beat. I'm not sure how you're gonna beat that.
Okay, so
Adam Carolla's
just
pretty good too.
Though. Adam Carolla, right? So he to me, he looks like he is like trying to always make Gilbert Gottfried's face, right? So I'm Adam Carolla. I'm not funny. Jimmy Kimmel's way more funnier than me. More funnier is not even a word. But buy my podcast class there. It's $29. Or I'm going to have to go back and be a carpenter. Oh, fuck it. Bruce Springsteen was way better.
You know what it is?
I think you both did great, but I think you might have to go with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You know, so, you're coming from a more passionate place with Springsteen where you got to, like,
true.
Dial down the...
Yeah, because Adam Carolla sucks.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's the guy...
Do you think Adam Carolla sucks?
I'm actually not super familiar with his stuff.
And there
you shouldn't be.
Neither is Adam Carolla's family.
Yeah. I'm like such a terrible stand-up sometimes. Like, I feel like so many stand-ups I know watch like everything stand-up out there in the world. And I don't know. Sometimes I like to do something that's not at all stand-up related because, you know, you're just like so often watching stand-up, you know?
It's probably good in some ways, though, because I think you have that little part of your brain that kind of steals stuff without knowing. You know
I know. Yeah, that's like my biggest fear. Like, I actually went up to John Early. Do you guys know him? He's in Search Party on TV.
Oh, yeah.
show. Yeah, you know John Early? He's like the blonde one who's like kind of wacky. I like wrote this joke and I know now that I wrote it, but it was like so weird for me and like not my usual voice. I was like, did I steal that from John Early somehow? And like, so I like told him the joke. I was like, did I steal this from you? And he's like, no, I didn't write that. You wrote it. And I was like, okay. You know, but yeah, I get so scared that somehow, I'll like latch onto a concept and then it'll like percolate through and, you know, then I end up saying it a month later and then I'm like, oh shit, what? You know?
Right.
Just as long as you don't steal anything from Louis C.K.
Hi. Whoa.
What's your take on Louis C.K.? Just wondering, as a female,
were you a fan of his before all that stupid?
I was a huge fan, actually. Right? Louis C.K. Yeah.
I don't know.
He was all right. I mean, his I like his stuff. I also really liked. I liked Louis, and there was one episode of Louis where he hits on the waitress, and she's sort of heavy set, and actually that waitress is Sarah Baker, who's a family friend, and she's so wonderful.
Oh, really?
She's friends with my sister in L.A. My sister's also a comedian.
There goes one of my questions.
Don't worry.
You're better at this podcasting than me.
But But I really liked a lot of the writing in Louis, and like mm-hmm. specifically yeah, that dynamic. Sure. I thought really, yeah, it was like well done, well explored. But I mean, we all, this was an open secret for years. Like I'd always heard this.
Really?
Him, so
yeah, I had read it a couple of times, mm-hmm. but nobody ever.
I never knew it, but just looking at him, I'm like, oh yeah, definitely, I can see that. Creepy guys have the same. They all have the same haircut. They let the fucking hair grow around the side, and they don't go the full baldy. So they just leave the peach fuzz in the center there.
Yeah.
And they go with the old Caesar around the sides. if you see a dude in Hollywood with that haircut, he's whipping his penis out where it don't belong.
Oh man, 100%. Probably. Yeah, so. I will say, I mean, his apology was fine, but, like, I think that he profoundly didn't understand it, like,
yeah.
Which I thought was sort of weird. It's like, oh, wow, it turns out these girls, like, I was sort of a mentor to them. They were, like, idolizing me, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes in power dynamics, the person on the higher level of a power dynamic really does not understand the position of the person on the lower level. And it's like, across an assortment, it's like financial stuff or male-female or professional stuff, and I don't know. I just think that, like, you really need to, like, think about how it feels for someone else, you know?
Right.
I give him credit in the sense that at least out of all these guys, he came out and kind of said it instead of denying it. Like, so many of them are like, like James Franco's like, listen, I know there's 57,000 women who said I did this, and I'm not saying I did it, but I'm just going to step back because I believe in the movement this much. You know? And I'm like, what a bunch of bullshit that is. It's like,
yeah.
Stop patting yourself on the back, dude. Yeah. And I agree.
You'd be nowhere without Seth Rogen.
Sorry.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
No. Yeah, I did like that Louis did say I did these things because, like, you know, just, I was like, good. Thank you for saying, like, these women aren't lying. These things did happen. I regret them. I'm embarrassed.
Right.
But, like, to not, just be. Like the fact that now Trump is like, these women are liars. Like, no, they're not. Trump's you admitted it already. Ass. What are you talking about?
We're definitely anti-Trump here, so he's a fucking asshole.
Me too. My God.
Yeah. I see on your Twitter profile, I like that. I'm still with her. I actually have a very good...
Hillary's my girl.
I have a very, very good friend, longtime friend that I grew up with. She worked on Hillary's campaign.
Oh, nice.
And she's doing like real things with her life, so she has no.
Yeah.
I try to get her on the show, but she's working for a senator now.
Oh, nice.
Doing like real important fucking shit, man. It's like I see that. Like I look at like Facebook is the worst because I look at that and I'm like, oh wow, man, this girl I graduated high school with is working for a senator, and I paved Route 3 today. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, Facebook, I feel like, Facebook is also bad as far as your opinion. You know, I made this mistake. I said something about the gun control stuff on Twitter, but I'm hooked up to my Facebook. And, you know, on Twitter, I think you're a little more insulated from that. And, of course, it went to my Facebook, and it was just like, freaking snowflake, you know, this and that. I'm like,
wait, you get some weird shit on Twitter, though. Because I see people saying shit to you. And that's what's the fucking weirdest thing anybody ever said to you on Twitter?
On Twitter.
I see. Here's the thing. This is the difference between being a woman and a dude. Because like, I wish somebody would say something fucking weird to me on Twitter. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll try that.
Right. Well, when I get those,
I'm just kidding. No, seriously. Like, I am surprised just like how fucking weird people are.
I do every once in a while like.
Do you have a good weird story from Twitter?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had guys who I think they think they're giving me compliments, but it's just like, you know, I'll be like, hey, my album, or hey, comedy show, or whatever, and then they're just like, your body and your looks, and I'm like, I don't care what you think of that, you know, like, but I don't know, I try not to engage too much. Like, I really admire people who do, like Jen Kirkman goes like toe-to-toe with a lot of people, but for me, I just feel like for my mental health, I can't.
Right.
Like, I just cannot engage with people like that, you know?
It sucks your energy, man. It's just like, it takes a lot of energy out of me to get into that.
It really does.
You don't care.
Yeah, I used to be pretty outspoken, like, after school shootings. And one day, I just, like, got it. Like, people were coming at me, and I was like, oh, this isn't worth it, you know? Like, I don't know if you're going to change anyone's mind. And
I never would.
I think for a lot of people,
It's amazing how many fucking stupid people this country has. That's what I've learned from social media. There's a lot of fucking idiots out there.
But the funny thing is they think you're just as stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, so,
yeah. But I'm not stupid.
But I know I'm not.
Exactly. When my parents are like, hey, are you going to go to college? I'm like, nah, man, I'm going to take this year off.
My mom told me
that I had a kid.
I was very smart and I was handsome, so I believe her.
Yeah.
Else, right?
My mom said I was cool. So.
My mom said I was a catch, so it's on those women.
So you brought up your sister. I was going to ask you this, but you stole my question.
Sorry.
Nah, it's all right. It's whatever. But your sister is a stand-up comedian as well?
She is more of a sketch comedian and an actress. And actually, you guys have probably seen her. Lou, you must know this from my Twitter. I feel like I'm sometimes sort of shameless. She's the girl from all the Toyota commercials. She's Jan with the brown hair.
That's right.
And all the Toyota commercials.
Yeah. I didn't know that. She's fucking funny. And it's hard. You know how hard it is to be funny in a Toyota? That's fucking.
Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, she's
really cute. Like, they'll write a lot of the scripts where she'll, like, have moments where she can, like, be funny. Or, like, it's very subtle, like, a lot of the stuff that she does. Because that's how commercials are. But so she's in the Groundlings, which is, like, a sketch theater troupe out in L.A.
Yeah, she did. That
which is cool.
Very funny about her. Because, like, you said, the lines and stuff in the commercials are not. But, like, just the little subtleties and, you know. That's cool.
I have to tell you, the internet's very invasive, because the first thing I looked up Jan Toyota, and the two top searches are Jan Toyota lady, and then it's Jan Toyota salary.
Whoa,
is that public?
People are fucking.
It's not public information, but trust me, it's enough money to make everyone cry.
So suck it, you Googlers.
I know, exactly.
Shit, that's not any of your business. Yeah.
Exactly.
I hope you feel bad about yourself now. Some GameStop guy living in his mom's basement Googled that. He's fucking crying.
It's weird. We've stumbled upon some, like, people, especially on, like, Barstool Sports. They had something. It was like, who's hotter, like the chick from Wendy's or my sister? And I was like, the comments were, like, terrible.
Yeah.
Barstool Sports is the fuck.
Yeah, my sister's very smart. She's just,
you don't like
Barstool Sports. Wait, what? Right?
Barstool Sports is the fucking worst.
Oh, it scares me. I mean, they truly suck. I'm like, yeah, it seems pretty scary. I don't know. It's not my scene.
I'm going to tell you this seriously. So I have three daughters. Jay has a daughter, and two of them are grown. But fuck it, like the shit that they did with Julie DeCaro. I don't know if you know who she is. She's the sports announcer out of Chicago. They're fucking. I can't even repeat the things that they were saying to her, and they're just misogynist. They're shitty, and we really like the fucking Michael Rapaport podcast. The co-host came on the show and stuff like that. We're down with them. They just fired them. So fucking Barstool Sports, you can fucking suck it. I hate them. They're so fucking lowbrow. It's ridiculous. I mean, we're pretty lowbrow too. But I mean, if you're too lowbrow for me, we at least have respect for some people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just fucking, they're just awful. They're awful for the sake of just being awful, and people eat that shit up.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems like they're just, like, incendiary to, like, stir shit up and be like, well, we're going to talk about, you know, and yeah, it just seems like they also, the moderators don't police the comments at all or anything. Like, it's really, like, out of control.
And they're out of Boston, too.
Man, huh? I'm not surprised. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I love Boston, but
You know what? I'm out of Jersey, so who the fuck? We
do
state
Springsteen.
Smell. We have Springsteen and Southside Johnny, and a bunch of made up gangsters from the fucking Sopranos. Those are our heroes.
Yep.
Yes, yeah. Man, the Bada Bing recently closed. How sad. Did it close or it's about to close?
Nah, it's about to close. Not that I know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know. So I've heard.
Yeah, you've never been there.
Yeah, me neither.
That's where I go to watch Barstool Sports.
Yeah. I listen to the Barstool Sports podcast at the Bada Bing. Shit, man. Oh, my God. So, oh my God, dude. I don't even know what to say after that.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. You know, whatever. It is what it is. So you did some acting.
Yes. So
your path in acting or into the show for Amazon Prime, right? It was Red Oaks. You talk about it on your comedy album.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So
I love that story so much.
Would you mind? I know it is part of your comedy album. Would you mind, like, for the people that are listening? It's basically my parents and Jay's parents.
Nice. Awesome.
Hey, I bet Adam Carolla's parents don't listen to him, because if he was my kid, I wouldn't listen to that fucking asshole. But
I really wish my parents weren't listening to
those. Could you go through the story again? Because the fucking... it's just hilarious. I'll let you tell
it if you don't mind. Yeah, I'll tell the story. Because, I mean, I really respect actors, and I'm like, I'm not... And can you guys hear me okay? You can, right?
Yeah.
You can hear. Yeah, okay.
I can hear you now. Yes.
Yeah, I would never. Okay, cool. I would never think of myself as like an actor at all, because I really respect actors. So I don't really go out for auditions much. But the casting director for Red Oaks reached out to me, which I was so surprised by. And she was like, "Yeah, we're auditioning for this role they had that Beth Stelling ended up getting, but it was for a female stand-up comedian."
Right.
And actually, this character kisses Jennifer Grey on the show. Like, and she's in like 3 episodes. Like, pretty cool. So. So she's like, you know, we're auditioning all these female stand-up comedians. Could you come in and, you know, audition to be a female stand-up? And I'm like,
hearing this again. This is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I go in there. I'm like, oh, how hard can this be? Like, I've been doing stand-up for like 11 years. I know how to act like a stand-up. And, turns out I totally do not. I like get into the audition. I like eat shit in a like small conference room with a casting director. Like, just a nightmare to be like, do your act. Like, oh, it was the worst. And it just sucks when you know you're eating shit, but you kind of have to keep performing, I guess. So I leave that audition. I'm like, okay, I know I didn't get it. That's fine. At least the audition's over. And so 2 weeks later, the casting director calls me and she's like, hey, Selena, you know, you didn't get that role, obviously. but we have a role that we think is more appropriate for you. So here's the character description. Here's the script, you know, try to memorize it and come in tomorrow. And like character description, I'm like, thank God I'm not very vain and like I have pretty thick skin, because the character, and mind you, at this point I was like 34, I think, or maybe 35. The character is Rhonda, blousy bottle blonde in her 40s, done some hard living, seen better days. Just like brutal, like just like white trash and garbage, you know. But I was like, oh, and she like thought of me for the role, which was like nice. But I was like, oh, like I really hope I get this. I hope I don't. I hope they're like, you're too pretty and beautiful. You couldn't do it, you know.
Right.
But like going for the audition, all these people I know are like in the waiting room, also waiting to audition. I'm like, I know what I look like. Bye, ladies. You know, like got it. And I did. I did, which was great. It was so much fun. But like, man, they just like did me up. I like, they had like press on nails.
Yeah.
Like my hair was huge. I had this like weird cutout pink dress, and all the union guys on set were like wolf whistling like through their walkie talkies at me. I was like,
oh.
It was like just ridiculous. But it was really fun.
I did see it. It did not even look like you. They made you look rough looking, man. They did it. Those makeup artists did a good job. And the funny thing, the person you play had like a cable sex talk show or something.
Oh,
like,
yes.
That's the fucking thing.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I like forgot half my own damn joke. she's the host of a basic cable late night sex call-in talk show based on the Robin Bird Show, which like for New Yorkers, remember Robin Bird was this like old porn star.
Yeah.
Fucking train
wreck.
I like Googled her because I got the description. I was like, oh, that sounds rough. And then I was like, Robin Bird. I'm like, who's that? And I Googled it and I was like, oh, like,
yeah.
So when I got the role, I was like, thanks.
Hell yeah. Fuck.
But it was, Yeah, it was really fun. And it's cool. That show, they film it right, you know, in New York, New Jersey, on Long Island. So it was just nice. Like, you know, I feel like there's more and more stuff being filmed here in New York, which is nice because it used to be like any sitcom, anything was in Los Angeles, right. You know?
So now
I have to join SAG. If I find $3,000, I'll join SAG.
Yeah. That's how much it costs to join SAG?
Yeah.
Wow.
Does that actually lead you to more roles and stuff like that? Or how does that?
I think it can.
Just in case I decide to join.
Yeah. I mean, most people say if, like, right now I'm in this limbo thing where I'm SAG eligible. So, like, basically you can sit at SAG eligible. And then once you get in your next role that's in SAG, you drop $3,000 and you film, like, you can film that day. So you can get it taken care of very quickly if you need to. But yeah, I mean, I think it can open up some other doors. And then also there's some, you know, I'm super pro union personally. And so right. There's some great things about being in the union.
Yeah. I'm a member of a union local 1556 out of New York and New Jersey.
Nice.
So, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
I actually hate my job. So hopefully I'm trying to get out of it, but I don't have any other skills. I mean, the whole fucking.
But hey, and thanks.
What's that?
And thanks to your union. I mean, I'm sure you get like lunch break or, you know, I mean, the union gives you some good stuff.
And the best thing about being in a union is I don't have to be that good. Like, I still get paid as much as the guy that's good, and I just sit there.
You're just making, you're making the exact argument for the other people. Exactly.
The truth's out.
Exactly. Damn it.
Sometimes you just gotta own it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when I was younger, I did it, but I just turned 40. I feel like I should chill for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only got 15 years
to go. It's time to bring up the next generation.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, have them hustle, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
But you should always get the coffee on the coffee breaks.
Oh, yeah. I still get the coffee on the coffee breaks, especially when it's 5 degrees out. They're like, hey, I know you've been in like for 15 years. Would you mind? I'm like, yep, give me the money. Let's go. I'll see you in 3 hours.
Would you mind? I would love to. Exactly.
They have no clue.
You'll never believe the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
the Dunkin' Donuts was packed.
Yeah, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right next to the Bada Bing. I place my order. I'm going to wait next door.
That's right.
If I were to go to a place like that,
right?
That's the thing, though. Like, construction is all I know how to do. Like, I'm, you know, I obviously the funny guy who jerks off in front of people is already taken by Louis C.K. So,
there's an open position right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe a guy could dream.
Put me in, coach, you know.
Another great song. Bruce Springsteen should have sang that one.
Yeah.
Did you guys read Bruce Springsteen's autobiography?
No, just because we're from Jersey, we don't really like
it. You know, I got to be honest. When it comes to Springsteen.
That's being very judgmental of people from Jersey.
When it comes to Springsteen, I didn't really get into.
You think we read?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I have an audio book.
That's actually true. Is there an audio book?
I just Wikipedia everything, and that's how I get it. But, when it comes to Springsteen, I think it's one of those things that I didn't get him when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then when I turned like 35, 36, I was like, yeah, my life is hard.
Yeah.
And now you're rich, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, you fucking asshole. That is a rite of passage in New Jersey. Once you hit 35, you have to listen.
All of a sudden, glory days.
Or you have to move to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I hear that. Yeah, I mean, I always liked him, but definitely, yeah, like, I'm 37, and some of his songs about, like, just, like, you know, I got married pregnant, and man, that was all she wrote, like, just that it's just, like, hey, life happens, and I was like, wow, this speaks to me more than it used to. Yeah. You know?
That fucking definitely speaks to me. Like, the Hungry Heart, where he's like,
I'm just gonna run the hell out of here, basically.
Made a wrong turn, and even never looked back, and I was like,
yeah, there's a reason that song's a big hit.
I think about that every day.
Yeah.
I know. Some days I think about getting on the subway going the wrong way. Just being like, to Coney Island, you know?
Yeah.
Which I do love Coney Island.
Coney Island.
Are you in Brooklyn now? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I live in like South Park Slope.
Oh, okay. But I was born in Brooklyn Methodist Hospital, so I say I'm from Brooklyn.
Hey, nice.
My whole family was from there.
I went to a Nets game once.
That was it.
They were in New Jersey, though, when I went.
That's all I have. But I lived in New Milford.
Yeah, that actually, Brooklyn might be, we might, one of the studios might be going to Radio Free Brooklyn studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So what the hell happened to Brooklyn, man? Yeah. My family lived there. It was like just regular. Now it's
hipsters.
And
I know. Yeah.
How do you feel about hipsters?
I don't seem like
you're into hipsters. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading you wrong.
No, I think that I like when my hair doesn't look like shit. Usually I wear it kind of big and like, I don't know if it's just growing up. Yeah. Like kind of high school in the grunge era. Like, I just don't relate, like, hipster. I dress very, like, I try to look good. I think that, like, makeup looks good. I think big hair looks good. And I think hipsters, like, they're always like, I'm wearing my mom's rags and no makeup. And, like, I'm like, I like, that's not for me. Like, I can't get on board with that. I don't get it, you know?
Well, they're very funny because everything with them is like, oh, I'm dressing ironically. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I know.
They say that shit?
I'm wearing this shirt because it's ironic and it's funny because it's
Alanis Morissette?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She's the only person who can use ironic in the wrong tense.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I found. I remember when I first moved to New York and I was like faced with more hipsters than I'd ever met. I like didn't understand it because I was like, what do you mean we're doing it ironically? It's like you're doing something
on purpose
because you hate the people who actually do it, but you're making fun of those people. And I'm just so earnest. Like if I wear a shirt that says Eagles, it's because I like the Eagles, you know, like I wouldn't be like, I'm wearing a shirt that's like from a band I hate in hopes that someone will ask me if I like that band. And I can be like, no, you know, like what? All that stuff is so weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
And they eat quiche and shit like that.
Yeah, that's weird. They don't eat fucking.
Did you have a joke with that?
Quiche is great, but like, and they wear fucking tight jeans. And what's up with the high waters? Why is everybody wearing high waters?
Oh, I know.
They used to only be for fucking Michael Jackson.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. I think they'll try to wear clothes that are like unflattering because they think it's cool. And I'm like. They'll wear really high-waisted jeans, and, like, short pants. And I'm like, what? Like, you could also just dress cool and look good. That's also an option.
You don't have to look like Zach Morris with a beard, you fucking fool.
With a lumberjack beard.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I know. I know. And
like that swooping
hair. I mean, it's sort of weird, too, because Yeah, it's just not for me. And also, I feel like a lot of the guys are, like, skinny and, like, you know, I'm like, nah, all of this is not for me.
Right. You like the gravedigger with the neck tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
That was one of my two favorite. That was because I wasn't expecting that. One of my two favorite parts of your CD. The other one was definitely the fucking. You talk about being a feminist.
We were talking
about this one. Yeah.
I was like,
which were on my own terms.
Yeah. On your own terms.
I completely was not expecting that. I thought about it. I'm like, good for her.
I like
that joke. My friends sometimes like joke around and they'll just like say to me, like, you know, when like friends will quote their own jokes to each other, whatever, they're just like, on my own terms. Like, that's just like, I was thinking about calling the album that, but then I was like, I think my parents would murder me if I like named my album after like a joke about sucking dick, you know? So
yeah, my dad yells at me for saying the F word all the time. So
yes, he does.
All the time. I think he just does it though to be funny because
he just wants to feel like he's a part of it.
Yeah. My dad, I don't know if you ever seen the Dan Le Batard show Well, he has his father. He's got like his old Cuban father and he says weird stuff. My dad's like, I want to be like that guy on your show.
And I'm like, yeah. Ooh. Like, have you ever had him on the podcast?
Nope.
To do a little sidekick stuff,
trying to get people to listen. Sorry, Dad, I know when you hear this. Like,
Were you ever, is there anybody that, I mean, obviously you said you started when you were in a troupe, but who kind of, was there anybody who inspired you as far as getting into comedy?
Yeah. Well, I grew up like always watching Saturday Night Live. Like, you know, I would like drag the kitchen TV up to my bedroom and watch Sisters from 10 to 11 and then the news and then SNL. And that was an era of like Phil Hartman and Ellen Cleghorn, I loved. And that was like just pre Farley, Spade, Tim Meadows, Mike. Mike Myers was on back then. So I loved old SNL and I loved sketch comedy. And then, you know, as I got more into stand up, like I love, like Conan O'Brien has always just like rocked my socks. Like, just, I love how silly he is.
Yeah,
like,
he's...
and Late Night with Conan O'Brien was so good. Like, I just couldn't believe the weird stuff he did for Late Night. I was like, I can't believe there's a dog just like swearing at people.
Yes. You know, I used to watch
Robert Smigel's amazing.
I watched him throughout college, and he had a little bit of a different edge than Letterman or Leno or anything. Like, they were a little more straight, and he was just so out. I used to like what he did in the year 2000.
Oh my God, I loved the year 2000.
It was like 2004, and he's still doing it.
99. and they'll just be like, everyone's going to be a robot living on a hoverboard. It's so weird. It's like so silly. I love that. And then, you know what? My sister got me really into Mr. Show. You guys ever watch Mr. Show?
Mr. Show, Mr. Show. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God, Mr. Show was amazing.
Yeah.
And that really like blew my mind as far as sketch comedy and like each scene connecting to the next, to the next.
Right.
And then I had an ex-boyfriend who got me into Monty Python too.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. I've always just loved watching comedy, but I didn't have cable, so I didn't have a ton of access to, you know, different the cultural touchstones that some people talk about. But yeah, I mean, and now like Maria Bamford is, I absolutely love her stuff. Like Lady Dynamite, her show is so solid. There's so many great, like an Amy Schumer's show was so great. And like, I mean, Christine Nangle is such an amazing writer, and Amy Schumer's so funny, and like Rachel Feinstein. There's just so many rad people out there. And I feel really lucky to live in New York where like, you know, someone will record a half hour and then I'll be at a show with them the next day. And it's like such great stuff, and people are always writing, and there's just so much inspiration around. It's great.
Now, you need to repeat something that you said for my kids, because they don't believe me when I tell them. You did not have what?
Oh, cable TV.
I didn't have cable TV either. And you had to get up and you had to be like, ka-conk, 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 ka-conk.
I remember they had that long wire cable box, though, when I got it, and used to press the buttons.
Yeah, but that's cable. We didn't even have that.
Yeah.
I was very, very well off.
You had a cable box? What's that? Yeah, my kids are just
fancy.
Like, my kids are like, oh, yeah, Dad, would you grow up in a cave? I'm like... No, I just didn't have cable.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you're like six channels was enough somehow, I guess. Exactly. You know? Yeah, it was like ABC, NBC. Like, there were so few.
That's it.
But it was also when, you know.
You know what?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I noticed nowadays it was like Netflix and stuff like that. I can't choose anything. It's too much choice. Oh my
I know. I agree. I'll just spend like 30 minutes
flipping
scrolling and being like, okay, try to remember that one, maybe think about that one, but see if there's anything better.
I know.
For so long
the menus are
that's
better
exactly what it is. I always go, this is I know this is going to be great, but I might be missing the thing that's better.
Exactly. Yeah, I need to look through their entire archive before I'll make a decision. Like, what?
And then I end up like yelling at him, like, why isn't this just divided better so I can really see what I like?
I know,
that's not actually.
I wish I could type in, be like, hey Netflix, tell me what mood I'm in, because I don't even know. Oh my God.
Like when you say something,
and then you think
phone comes up and it's the ad on Facebook.
Yeah,
like, I just talked about this. This is so weird.
Yeah, nobody's listening to you.
I know. That stuff is so scary. Oh my gosh.
That's my parents, my kids wanted what is that, like the Alexa?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's good. Put a listening device right in the middle of your fucking house. And of course
they won.
They got an Alexa. So
oh my God. But that's what's so crazy is like, you will do it yourself. Like, you will surrender your autonomy to the government and you'll sign on for it your damn self. You know, it's so crazy. I mean, and not to the government, but to, you know, like big technology, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Something called apparently nobody's seen The Terminator. It doesn't turn out well for us people.
Dude, I read about that.
Siri, when is the government going to shut us down? Like,
the government.
Siri's like, shut up and keep eating your, you know, random shit food.
It just gives you like an ad. Yeah. Would you like to buy these sneakers from? Yeah, I did actually.
Won't these placate you and make you stop questioning?
Oh my goodness! Yeah. So.
Crazy.
What? So what's next for you? What do you? What do you? For, are you? You're doing shows and stuff, right? Still, like you're. Yeah. I looked at your website, selenakopic.com. And you guys can go on there and check out shows. But you're doing shows around the city. Are you traveling outside the city? Or are you doing just?
Right now, not really. I'm just broke. I just went to like a credit card debt consolidation program, which is pretty exciting.
Nice.
I know.
This is exciting. My God.
So you're like, yeah. So I'm living on real money, and oh man, this sucks. Ouch. I want to get down to DC and Philly and Atlanta and do some shows, but financially, I don't know. And great, even though it like wouldn't cost me an arm and a leg, I just got to figure it all out. But I just need to like get on that. So for right now, yeah, my spring is just a ton of shows in New York, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens. And lots of good, really fun stuff coming up. So that's nice. And yeah, working on a couple projects. One that I can't talk about, but I'm really excited about it. And that'll be out in
mid-March. That makes me want to know really bad.
And, yeah. Doesn't it sound like actually things happening? I'm like, I just.
I'm going to be on Twitter every hour following you.
Selena. Honestly, like signing an NDA for a project, I was like, oh, people are gonna be so annoyed at how much I'm like, I wish I could tell you about it.
Does it make you want to tell people more? Like if they just left you alone, you probably wouldn't say anything about it.
Oh, exactly. I know. It makes it seem so irresistible. I'm like, it's very important. And this career is actually happening. It's not a pipe dream. Okay. Lots of shows. I co-produce a variety show that'll be April 11th. It's called Bitchcraft. And it's like stand-up storytelling, singing, costume changes. That'll be in April. And then, lots of stuff going on late February, March. Just like a lot of live shows. And wrapping up, I do recaps of The Bachelor on my blog. So this season is wrapping up. So I'm making fun of Ari furiously on my blog.
What is, NYT Vows? I saw, but I did not get to check it out. So I was just like, I probably did. To be honest, I probably had time, but I think I probably got lazy or something.
Oh yeah. NYT Vows, it's kind of wacko. I've been doing it for like 2 years. It's this Twitter and Instagram account, and it's just NYT VOWS, and it's where I pretend to be the New York Times wedding section just to make fun of the New York Times wedding section. So it's just really snobby. I basically just make fun of like poor people who like have cash bar at their wedding. You know, I mean, it's just an opportunity. I mean, I make fun of weddings. I make fun of like WASPs. I make fun of preppy people. I lovingly mock the Times, but I just love like the New York Times wedding section. I find fascinating, and I've been reading it since I was like 12. Because Sundays we're always stuck at home. After church, we weren't allowed to go out, so I just read the paper. They're always talking about these like weddings of like he went to Harvard and she went to Princeton, you know, and like you know the families like. So I just love like making fun of those. So that's what NYT Vows is mostly.
He went to jail and she got knocked up.
She waited. She waited exactly. For him.
Yeah. That would have been mine.
He'll meet his daughter for the first time. She's 7 at the wedding. Yeah,
that would have been mine if they did one about me. It's in the past. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. A little bit.
Some truth in it.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's like a fun little, sort of side way for me to like just be creative, and like you know you can do it wherever. So yeah, it's fun, and sometimes I'll comment on like current events through it. But yeah, like on Valentine's Day, I was like, you know, the fake gray lady doesn't comment on Valentine's Day because it's a celebration for poor people. Just like kind of just I like to be mean on there. It's pretty fun. And people like the meaner I am, the more people like it. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's just that fucking Twitter's great for that.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. That is true. I got to check that out. That is awesome. I meant to do that. And I did. You do so much and you're so you're very good at all of it. So it's right.
And you had a book.
Thank you. Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's
I wrote a book a couple years ago.
Thank God I'm here.
Damn. I fucking suck at this. This is just the Jay Burke show.
We'll just call it with Jay Burke.
Yeah, the Jay Burke show with Jay Burke. And some fucking other dude just sitting there drinking a beer.
Like Tyler. Be like me, like I'm Tyler Durden. Just
yeah, your book. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't worry. I actually don't love... well, yeah, so I wrote a book. It came out in 2013. So it's, you know, kind of old news. But yeah, it's just a collection of his funny essays about being blonde. It's called The New Rules for Blondes. And it's just, it's like a good beach read. It's very silly. But I do talk about, like, Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses. Yes. Like, I put all these, like, random band references in there. Yeah, my editor was like, what does this have to do with anything? And I was like, Motley Crue is a bunch of brunettes with one blonde, okay? It's important to talk about the hair color. Like, it's just, like, so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Do you like them? No, this is the hipster side.
Yeah, exactly. It's ironic.
Exactly.
I'm going to go see every show across the country of Motley Crue, ironically.
Exactly, because I hate them.
I hate them, obviously.
So, what is next for you? Yeah, as we wrap this up, what is next for you that you can talk about? We will tease it that I know you have something big that you can't talk about, and hopefully, it has nothing to do with like machines taking over humans.
No, it's very fun.
Okay, I'm on board.
Coming up next, I'll get a little bit of money for my album. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, good.
And I've gotten some good press from the album. So if anyone has not bought it yet, feel free to. It's on iTunes and Amazon. It's called Seen Better Days.
It's amazing.
And yeah, just kind of more New York fun stuff. I might go see my sister in Los Angeles. So maybe some shows in LA. But yeah, kind of more of the same, which I know isn't the coolest thing to say, but you know.
You're stand-up comedian. That's pretty cool. When and where is your next show? In case somebody wants to come check you out.
On Friday I'm on this thing called the Secret Loft Show. I actually don't even know where it is, but yeah, it's supposed to be really fun. And I think
that's gonna be hard for people to get there.
I'm like, I don't know where it is.
Sign a non-disclosure for that one too.
Yeah.
So Friday,
it's all about secret. Friday, and actually, if you go to my website, I think it'll like, or if you either go to my website, you can see more information about exactly when it is. But then I think if you Google Secret Loft Show, they have a website, and if you buy a ticket, then you find out the address. But then, yeah, a bunch of shows coming up at Union Hall. My good friend's recording an album at Union Hall in May, and I'm going to open for him, George Gordon. And he opened for me on my album recording. Nice. And, just a lot of random shows, and everything's on my website, selenakopic.com. And, you know, the finishing up the season of The Bachelor, so I'll be ragging on more people there for the next couple weeks. And then just enjoying the spring and maybe trying to will myself to somewhere tropical, but I don't have the money.
Ask your sister to pay for it. I saw her salary on Google.
She's very helpful. She paid off my credit card debt, and I managed to rack it right back up. It's a good way to be. God.
That's awesome.
It's the American way.
That's it. That is it. One thing we like to do when we end the show is we do like to have like a moral for every show.
Okay.
Usually we do have our buddy who is also a radio host. He does one, and he's going to record a bunch of them and put them at the end of the show. We're not going to know what they are. But do you have a moral for the the kids out there?
Well, I think a good moral of this show is to not be a hipster, but to love what you love earnestly and truly. And don't be afraid, even if you love bands that everyone thinks are washed up and old and lame, such as Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, you know, you can still love them and fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters.
That's the moral.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
You're right.
That's it. Fuck the haters. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on.
Once again.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Check the album out, everybody who is listening on iTunes, Google Play, Selena Kopic, Seen Better Days. If you can find the Secret Loft, you can go see her on Friday. If not, you can buy a ticket and just walk around New York City. It's up to you.
There's a lot to do there.
Exactly. Yeah. So go to a museum or something. I don't know. Culture. So thank you once again. We really appreciate it. And when we get in the studio, you got to come on again.
Yes, definitely.
I know. I'd love to. Yeah. And I'll happy to refer show you guys other comedians if you want to talk to more kooky comedians, you know?
I would love that. Actually, I was going to tell you that. Just put in a good word for it. Yo, hook us up with your comedian friends. Right. Guys, too. Oh, my God. Selena, thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
I'm all about low prices, but not in a cheap way, of course. I have this weird best value superpower. You name it, I can tell you exactly where to go. You need beer? Total Wine and More. Feeling like wine? Duh. Total Wine and More. Whether I'm spicing up game night or I'm grilling with my friends, Total Wine and More always has exactly what I need.
Hey, Ron, your best value superpower is called Total Wine and More, and we are now open in Reston. Click the banner or visit totalwine.com/go-reston for more savings at our Reston store.